Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 6th of March, Anno Domini 2010, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, things to choose, nothing to lose. If you just listen to us, let us start with a lovely news story. You can, of course, give us a call. It's 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or outside the 585 area code 1-800-790-0415. Our interesting story of the week, Microsoft has warned XP users not to press the F1 key when prompted by a website as part of its reaction to an unpatched vulnerability that hackers could exploit to hijack PCs running Internet Explorer. In a security advisory issued on Monday, Microsoft confirmed the unpatched bug in VBScript that Polish researcher Marisi Proteus, or not, had revealed on Friday, Microsoft offered more information on the flaw and provided some advice on how to protect PCs until a patch shipped. The vulnerability exists in the way that VBScript interacts with Windows help files when using Internet Explorer, read the advisory. If a malicious website displayed a specifically crafted dialog box and a user pressed the F1 key, arbitrary code could be executed in the security context of the currently logged on user. Last week, Proteus called the bug a logic flaw and said attackers could exploit it by feeding users malicious code disguised as a Windows help file and then convincing them to press the F1 key when a pop-up appeared. He rated the vulnerability as medium because of the required user interaction. Windows 2000, Windows XP, and Windows Server 2003 are all impacted by the bug, said Microsoft, improperly using impact as a verb. And any supported versions of Internet Explorer on these operating systems, including IE6 on Windows XP, could be leveraged by attackers. Until a patch is ready, users can protect themselves by not pressing the F1 key if a website tells them to.
As an interim workaround, users are advised to avoid pressing F1 on dialogues presented from web pages or other internet content, said David Ross with the Microsoft Security Response Center engineering staff in a blog entry on Monday. The prompt can appear repeatedly when dismissed, nagging the user to press the F1 key, he said.
The security advisory made the same recommendation. Our analysis shows that if users do not press the F1 key on the keyboard, the vulnerability cannot be exploited. Users can also stymie attacks by disabling Windows Help. The advisory explained how entering a one-line command in the Windows command prompt locks down the help system. Of course, so many people never, ever use the help system anymore. Anyway,
because it's not very helpful most of the time.
Oh, that's exactly right. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's, of course, bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is how do you feel about the F1 vulnerability? Your choices are, I'm disgusted, just another thing to be wary of, and I don't use Windows, F1 is my friend. So far, we've got about 44 people who have answered the poll. And just another thing to be wary of is in the lead, followed by I don't use Windows, F1 is my friend. And four of you are disgusted. Now, I know you'll have more to say about this because I know you people. So when you are done taking the poll, take a look at the little yellow box underneath it. Click on give us your opinion. It will take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
And you can enter your opinion. The question there, of course, is have you helped spread the word about the F1 vulnerability? One thing that I have realized is that, and I know this is a shock to you people, but not everybody on earth listens to this show. But the reality is that you need to pass on the word. So please do that. I know. All right. So and this is a weird one, isn't it? I mean, it's specifically you press the F1 key. It's just an odd sort of thing. Why would you think pressing the F1 key would be bad for you?
Well, so many folks are used to it, especially the older folks that have been doing computing for the longest time. F1 has always been there for the help.
Right. I had a boss who used to call me F1. I'd pick up the phone and be him. I'd pick up the phone and go, F1, F1. I'll be right there.
Is that anything like CQ? Clear?
Yeah. Right. CQ.
Basically, it was F1 and not FU. I don't know what that would mean. CQ? Never mind.
I need to apologize to our stream listeners. I have to, or to the video stream listeners, I have to shut it off for a second. I have the wrong audio feed coming through, so you're probably not hearing very much.
All right.
Well, they can just go to the regular stream too.
Yeah. Well, I'll shut down the video and bring it right back up.
We have multiple ways that you can follow us. We are, of course, first and foremost on member supported Jazz 90.1 FM. Which is on, not too shockingly, 90.1 on the FM dial. If you can't get us live, you can always listen to the stream at jazz901.org, jazz901.org, exactly, and just like 76 of you are doing right at this moment. And you can also, of course, go to our Soundbites Ustream system. That's at... Ustream.tv, and this is in your web browser, ustream.tv/channel/sound-bytes/radio. So that's ustream.tv/channel/sound-bytes-radio. All of those choices are listed on our website at soundbytes.org. So you don't have to write any of it down. You just got to go to soundbytes.org. And check it out, because during the show, those choices all appear on the webpage. Now, if it's after the show and you want to relive the glory that is Soundbites, you can also get us on our archive, which you can reach through soundbites.org. So really, there's no excuse for not listening to us, except that Steve is in the process of getting the... Ustream backup. Oh, it's backup. Here it is. It's back up now. And so far, 8 people are already listening to it. Wow. You people are good. So, yeah, join us online one way or another, live via IRC. The IRC, did I mention the IRC? I thought I did. I thought I mentioned that first.
Nope.
We are at the IRC stream. We're on FNET at @soundbytes. Excuse me, Octothorpe Soundbites.
Octothorpe.
It's the hash key, the pound thing, the shift 3.
Tic-tac-toe board.
The tic-tac-toe board.
Pound
it
sign.
Is properly called an Octothorpe.
But it's got 9 segments in it.
Well, known by the pounds.
I don't know why they call it an Octothorpe. Maybe Thorpe means plus one.
Let's ask Wikipedia.
Google it.
Yeah.
Octothorpe. It's called an Octothorpe.
Mm.
And we're at Octothorpe Soundbites. So, see?
Well,
Chris Reich says, I once had Octothorpe. Spent 2 weeks in a hospital recovering. But I'm bummed. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Try the veal.
One thing, talking about things going on that we should mention to folks, that the pledge drive is coming up very soon. And we should put a little plug in here that on Friday the 19th, Jazz 90.1.
That would be March 19th.
March
19th. Write it down.
Write it down, folks. It's going to have an open house from 5 to 7 o'clock, I believe it is. And it's a chance that if you want to come down with your check and make your pledge early, you can come down, and the three of us will be here. And who knows what else will be going on, but it's a chance if you want to come down and actually see the studio where all the action happens and everything else, and kind of get a little behind-the-scenes look, and also meet the three of us. And a lot of the other on-air talents are going to be here also.
Dave will bring his camera.
Yes.
You can get pictures with us, and we'll put them up on the Soundbites website.
That works. Very good idea.
So come on down, get your picture taken with the gang,
and bring
make
your check,
pledge.
Make your pledge, whether you're a new member, renewing, we don't care. Come on down, have some fun. You know, get that out of the way so that, you know, when you call up the following weeks and you can sit there and just say, when we ask, are you a member? Say, yep, already done. So, you know, put that on your calendar. Again, that's March 19th from 5 to 7.
And this, we'll be here, you'll be here, it'll all be good.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things is that we are a member-supported radio station. That means that you folks listening are what make this station continue to work, and we will be asking for your support very shortly, and in fact, it kind of starts right now.
Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, Rob's got a special going on. The whole crew here has got a special, what they call an early bird special, that if you come down and pledge between now and the 17th, at the $35 and above dollar limit, they're throwing in a great CD that the staff here, which are well known for their jazz knowledge, picked out a primo CD. Can't tell you the title. You got to come down and, or you know, send your $35 or better in, and you know, jump on that CD because it's only offering. They're only offering it from now until the 17th. After that, sorry.
And, yeah, and the big thing really is that, you know, we do. We come in and we ask for your money. Pledge early. It's Chicago-style pledging right now. Pledge early, pledge often.
Go for it, yeah.
It's you folks who keep this station on the air. It's you folks who appreciate the jazz and sound bites and all the other shows that you hear on this station. And without you, this station simply would not exist. It's a lot like shareware. In fact, it's very much, you know, paying for your software. It's very much the same statistics. 5% of the people support any one of these things. So only 5% of you listening normally actually pledge. And we'd love to see that the Soundbites crew at least.
Yes.
Beat that all hollow. We'd like to hit 55%, but that requires you, whether you listen live or you're watching us on the Ustream or you're up on the IRC chat. I got all your names on this IRC chat, and I expect each and every one of you to become a member at least the $35 level.
You know, and I've heard rumors, too, that, you know, the guys before us, the polka guys, they might be slamming down a, you know, a challenge here because, you know.
Oh, it's on.
Yeah, I mean, you know. We got a good crew of folks out there, and just as much as the polka folks, and we're going to have to do a slam down here maybe and see what we can do about beating the polka guys.
That's exactly right.
I mean,
you listen on the IRC chat, you listen on Ustream, you listen live, you listen to the podcast, you listen everywhere, and you're all in the forums and all that other stuff, and it's time. To give back just a little bit, and that's the sort of thing that this is about. You know, it's member supported radio, and without you folks, there ain't no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Dead air. Yeah, that's and of course that's the bane of any radio person's existence. Silence is a bad thing. You know, you don't want any of that silence sort of stuff going on.
Well, talking about other shows in that, Lori and I did the Thursday night show.
You've been doing the Thursday night show, and you've been doing an excellent job on the Thursday night show.
Well, the thing of it is...
And that's a jazz show. That's not call-in for computers.
No.
That's
no,
jazz.
No, this is strictly jazz. What Rob has allowed Lori and I to do is literally turn us loose in the library and say, yeah, go ahead, have at it. And we are literally, you know, new at jazz. And I am discovering some really way cool artists that, you know, I might have heard them, you know, 20, 30 years ago, but rehearing it again, it's like, whoa, this is cool. And we were having a ball for the 3 hours that we were on, just playing some really great jazz. And it's, you know, bringing stuff like that to the folks that, you know, like I say, we can do that each week. You know, folks can turn on the radio and hear us on Saturdays, the polka guys, and the diversity of programming that goes on here at this radio station is unbelievable. So, yeah, with that, you know, call in with your support. But moving on to computer news, one thing I've been seeing here in my shop quite a bit that I've been, you know, we haven't seen much of the F1 key yet. But the one that we're seeing a lot of, now you guys know RegFix.
RegFix.
You know the program?
Yeah.
It's a legit program. You can go to the stores, you can go to Best Buys and all these other places and get RegFix. And I think it's for like, what, $20? $29.95? Well, there's a scam going around right now. And it's, again, once they traced it, it goes back down to Nigeria, of course. And what it's doing is, in the background, it's really sneaky. It downloads the program without you seeing it. And next time you reboot, all of a sudden, RegRepair is on there, and it's running it. And it's letting you know, oh, you got all these errors on there. You know, your machine could be letting in a lot of malicious viruses and everything else. And your machine could run a lot faster if you ran RegFix. And they have literally stolen the logos and everything else. And it makes it look authentic as all get out. And they want you to, oh, well, tell you what, you can easily sign on for $39.95. And, you know, correct this and clean up your machine and have it run, you know, lightning speed. If you didn't download it, install it, folks, it's spyware. Right. Just be aware of that. You know, there's not some Microsoft in the background or any of these other programs going to install it for you without you first clicking, downloading the program, or giving your permission. This one is literally spyware. It sits in the back of your machine, starts up, and tries to suck you in so that they can soak you out of $39.95.
And they are basically telling you the truth that, you know, RegFix can fix problems on your computer, but I ain't RegFix.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is Station Manager Rob Linton. The Jazz 90.1 Spring Membership Campaign is about to begin. Now is the time to renew your membership or become a brand new member to keep the jazz going on Jazz 90.1. When you consider becoming a member of Jazz 90.1, think about how much time you spend listening, how much you enjoy the great jazz music and special programs you can't hear anywhere else, and how much it means to you to keep jazz at your fingertips on the radio and internet. Remember, Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members. We receive no funding from the Greece Central School District, no government grants, and no large corporate sponsorships like other large public radio stations. We're counting on you to keep Jazz 90.1 on the air. Please call now, 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free to 1-800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Thank you for supporting member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Pledge now at the $35 level and above until the start of the membership campaign on March 17th and receive a special bonus gift CD along with the other great thank you gifts available at each level. Go to our website, www.jazz901.org, or call 966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, and support Jazz 90.1.
You can only reach certain people through things like Facebook and MySpace. So for radio, it's great because it pushes us up to a new level and really just opens up opportunities for us that we didn't have before.
New artists like These Green Eyes, reaching new audiences every day where it all happens. Radio. To learn more, go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Hello, this is Joelle Van Buren. Join me weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And seven, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 22 minutes after the hour,
back.
We are exactly, we are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. I have missed that. I like it. We're going to take an email question. We take email questions as well. This one's from Art from Summerfield, Florida. He writes, I had to reformat the hard drive and reinstall Windows XP from a full version CD on my Acer desktop. I installed without any drivers. I went to the Acer driver download page to get an Ethernet driver to get on the Internet. The driver downloaded to a thumb drive. When I tried to install it, the computer says it can't find it, even though I pointed it at the thumb drive. I reinstalled the XP OS and got the same results. I can't get on the Internet without the Marvel Yukon Gigabit Ethernet driver. All the sites that I visit on the Internet want me to download scanning software and connect to the Internet for the driver, and I can't get on the Internet without the driver. I'm in a catch-22 situation. My XP CD, as far as I can tell, does not have the LAN Ethernet driver. I'm willing to pay for the driver, but I cannot get on. I cannot get one with my current situation. I do not have internet. I do have internet access with my laptop running Windows 7. Is there any generic Ethernet driver that I can use to get on the internet to download the proper one? I'm at a loss as to how next to proceed. My Acer Aspire M5100 originally came with Vista. At the time, I preferred XP to Vista, so I installed XP with the same CD I used for this install on the Acer. I am now willing to go back to Vista, but it is not available for sale anymore. I also don't want to pay over $100 for Windows 7. I appreciate any advice or help you can give me. Thank you very much. Art. All right, here's a couple of things, Art. First, I may have read this wrong, but if you've installed
XP on another machine,
XP on two machines, that's illegal. So you've got to pay for something, and Microsoft's not giving you a choice. It's $100 for Windows or nothing, for Windows 7 or nothing. But
the driver issue is easy.
But he's downloaded the driver and put it on a thumb drive. But what you probably downloaded was a zip file.
Mm-hmm.
You have to unzip it on that thumb drive before you can install it into the other machine. So you've got it on that zip drive. Most likely, all you actually have to do is on the machine that you downloaded it from, or on the new machine probably, double-click it. It'll open up. You'll see the folders, pull the folders out onto the thumb drive, and then point it at the thumb drive. You may have to point it down in the folder structure. I can't tell you exactly where that file will be, but that should make it easier. So the real problem is not that you can't get at the driver, but you have to unzip that driver before you can actually install it on the other machine. I hope that helps, because that's all I got.
I was also wondering if, but he did say he could see the flash drive, because I ran into a problem with a PC reinstalling Windows. There were no USB drivers, so I couldn't use the USB mouse and keyboard, and the box didn't have PS2 ports. And it was weird because during the Windows install, the USB mouse and keyboard worked fine. But after it finished installing and I got to Windows, it wouldn't work.
Okay, that's a little weird.
That was really weird.
That's odd. Wait a minute. It worked during the install.
Right.
See, that I don't get that.
And especially, you know, USB mouse and keyboard is generic human interface device.
Right.
That's what threw me off. That should be built into Windows, right?
Right.
Generic interface devices.
You would think.
Keyword should.
Assuming you were going to think at all, that is what you would think.
But maybe USB mass storage is not connected.
Right. How are we doing on...
I still don't think video or audio is coming through.
Yeah, I'm not hearing any, so I think we're not doing
audio. Well, I can say they can still watch that and then still go to the Jazz 90.1 or jazz901.org and listen to the stream right there.
That's true.
I may have to go back to the web. There's Ustream has a web-based Flash broadcaster, and then downloaded the standalone broadcaster app, and the standalone app doesn't seem to be sending audio. I may have to go back to the Flash one.
Well,
that in a minute or two.
Well, you're still playing with that then. Another thing that's been going on in the shop, and I don't know if you've seen it at all, Steve, there's another bad Trojan. And like you brought it up, though, Nick, in Second Life, and it's a good point. They got to stop saying, you know, the viruses and all that, the way they phrase it. Because for the most part, like you said, Unix and the Mac.
Well, a lot of times at the end of those articles, they say what operating systems are affected, but no one reads to the end.
Yeah. No. But there's another one going around right now that is causing a lot of issues, and it's an EXE Trojan. And what it does is if you try to run any EXE file, you're hosed. It literally stops any EXE. You got to literally take, well, the one workaround for it is to start cleaning it out. Any utility that you're going to use quite often is named EXE. You've got to copy it and then rename the extension to .com.
Yeah, that's not good.
And go in there and repair. But there's a number of utilities and that will have to be, we had to go through some hoops to get some of this stuff out, because I literally had one client. She was in 2 weeks ago, got it all cleaned out, came back. I'm reinfected again. Well, when you got two teenage kids and they still like to put BearShare on there, yep. Those downloads that you didn't think came down correctly, if you had read them and looked at them carefully, kids, would have noticed that, only being 2 or 3K isn't a song. It's probably some other virus or Trojan that you're putting down on that machine and reinfesting it. And this time it was messed up big time. I mean, she had so many things loading in places that it was unbelievable. The MSConfig went, I counted 6 pages long. That just keeps iterating, you try to clean it out and puts it right back there, just loading it up with all this garbage. We got any other?
I was just, I was out on the U trying to log into the Ustream chat, which I finally managed to do, and telling them we're having some problems with audio. Please stand by. But yeah, there's a kind of a movement going on right now to get people to say, they're not viruses. You have to modify them. They're Windows viruses, or they're Linux viruses, or they're Mac viruses. So that's, or Trojans or whatever, malware of some sort. But to pound home to people that it's dependent on the operating system. And certainly the vast majority of the time you'll hear Windows. But they're all vulnerable. Everybody has the ability to be broken into. I don't think there's, nobody's got a right to be smug.
Mm-mm.
At this point. So you need to be very careful of how you handle yourself on the air, rather in the internet. I was just reading on the air because we're not, for as far as Ustream is concerned. And here's another question. This is very nice. This is Miguel from Tucson, Arizona. And it's beautiful country out there, Miguel. We hate you for being out in the warm and the beautiful sunshine. I love Tucson. I loved it. Man, it was gorgeous. I am just emailing. It's a dry heat. We went to visit my sister-in-law who lives in Phoenix. She's always saying, come on out. You'll love it. And I've been there. I mean, I've been there a number of times before she moved out, and I love it there. But she said, come on out. It's dry. It's gorgeous. Everything is terrific. We went there for a week. It rained for 4 days.
Probably the only rain they got for the whole year.
Exactly. She said, really, it never does. Yeah. And Miguel says, I am just emailing to comment on the show. I listen to you guys from Tucson, Arizona. I love the show and it's great, but I don't see the most current show within the archive listing, and obviously it takes some days for getting those things up. Thanks for all you guys are doing. It's awesome. I have actually started a web design computer support company recently and listened to your show during the week to get the latest info on computing news and related software hardware. Thank you so much. Well, no, thank you, Miguel. We appreciate that because the reality is, and I'll say this, no matter how much we help people, very few people ever write back to say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to hear once in a while. So thank you, Miguel. We appreciate that very much.
And we should mention that if folks want their questions answered, they can dial us up at 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415 and get your questions answered.
And my VU meter is bouncing on me now, so I'm assuming there's audio going over the stream.
Well, some of the folks in one of the streams will tell us that. And we have Ustream audio again. There it is. There it is. Apparently we don't. Well, which is it, you people? Come on.
I had to go back to the web base.
Delay factor.
It says it's going. My meter's bouncing.
No, it's just coming in now. Sound was on for 10 seconds. Jack is watching it. You know, it's about technology. Here's the thing. I do technology for a living, and I admit it, you know. But it's technology on the fly. It's technology with a deadline that's hard. I spent 20 years as a professional actor, and when people screwed up on stage and I had to ad-lib, I had no problem with that. But when I was running the lighting board or the soundboard and something went wrong, holy mother of pearl. You sweat then, I'll tell you right now.
Like I did the first few weeks when we first came
yes,
here.
Yes, because you've got all the technology and it's got to be handled in real time.
Yeah.
Jack says it's back on now.
All right, thank you, Jack.
And thank you, Jack, and we'll see if you're right. I mean, we'll see if it lasts.
I was trying to use the standalone program, thinking it would be easier on the computer than a flash inside a web
page. Oh, look at the ad that comes up. No sound PC fix.
I know. I saw that. That was, I wonder if it knew. It did that on purpose. It's not putting the sound in there so it can put that ad up there.
Well, no. I bet it's pulling stuff off the chat stream. Audio problems,
could
no
be.
Sound,
yep.
And there and it, up it comes.
And part of the problem with checking this stuff is we can only check it when we're live.
Well, exactly, and that is the real problem. So that's one
Although
of the reasons.
I did check to make sure that the camera would work, that I could pick the second camera when we were in the other room.
Right, right.
But I didn't think to check the audio.
Yeah, right.
So next week we'll check both when we're off the air.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I won't turn anything off, and we'll walk it into the studio. Everything's still plugged in.
All right. Oh, folks, this is a big one. Microsoft will ship 2 security updates on Tuesday to patch 8 vulnerabilities in Windows and Office. In its monthly advance notification, Microsoft spelled out next week's 2 update patch Tuesday, a far cry from February's massive rollout of 13 security bulletins that fixed 26 flaws. The downturn was not unexpected. This is indicative of the on and off cycle that Microsoft uses, said Andrew Storms, director of security operations at Encircle Network Security. Last month was more OS related. This month, they're patching some applications. March traditionally is a slow patch month for Microsoft, Storms noted, just as February has historically been big. In March 2009, for example, Microsoft issued 3 bulletins, while in March 2008, it delivered 4. Both bulletins will be pegged as important, Microsoft's second highest severity rating in its 4-step scoring system. The vulnerabilities in these 2 updates, however, allow attackers to insert malicious code into unpatched PCs, a fact that at first glance may seem contrary to Microsoft's less than critical ranking. When Microsoft rates something as important but also says the vulnerability allows for remote code execution, that usually means there's some default state that would mitigate attacks for all users, Storm said. That state, he continued, could be a default setting that protects users or the fact that the vulnerability is contained within a component that's not loaded by default. The first bulletin will address one or more vulnerabilities in XP, Vista, and Windows 7, and affects the most recent service packs for XP and Vista, Service Pack 3 and Service Pack 2, respectively. Both 32 and 64-bit editions of all 3 operating systems harbor the bugs, according to the terse description in Microsoft's notice. The second will quash one or more bugs in Excel 2002, Excel 2003, and Excel 2007 on Windows, Excel 2004, and Excel 2008 on the Mac, believe it or not, and other Excel and file conversion-related pieces of the Office suite. Storm points out that the patch will even repair the version of Excel in Office 2007 Service Pack 2. It's the latest and greatest that's being patched, said Storms, adding that clues in the notice point toward a file format problem, most likely one in the file converter tool bundled with Office. So our question to you, are you tired of these monthly updates or is it just business as usual? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299. Or toll free, 1-800-790-0415, just like Tom did. Where are you calling from, Tom?
From Newark, New York.
How are you?
I'm the fellow that called you about the Dell that died.
Okay.
Okay, I got a new HP computer, and I tried to put Thunderbird back in it, you know, their mail.
Yep.
And I called Verizon, and they wanted to charge me $80 to put it back in. I was wondering why.
Someone has to pay for their time on the phone with you.
Well, it wasn't Verizon. They transferred me to a service that would put it in for $80.
Right. Yeah, you're paying for the service time.
Right. Generally speaking,
the first time they put it in, they never charged me.
I don't know.
Someone probably made a mistake.
Yeah, I suspect that's likely. The deal is this, Tom. In general, when you buy, the problem is this. You buy a computer from HP. It comes with an operating system from Microsoft. You get your internet service from Verizon. So there's no one person who's in charge of everything.
And a lot of times when the installer comes to your house and sets it up, part of the installation fee is to plug the wires into your computer and to set up your email program and make sure your web browser is working.
I never had anybody come to my house.
A lot of the the services will do self-installs.
Well, I did it myself 6-7 years ago.
Right.
Right, and you could do it again now. It's just a matter of downloading the file and double-clicking on it and letting it install. But I understand that it's
a
little
tough. Well, I did download Thunderbird, but then I couldn't install it myself.
What happened when you tried?
I forgot. No, it was 3-4 weeks ago because I've been trying to put everything back because I,
right,
you know, the hard drive died on the other one. I didn't have any of those settings.
If it wouldn't install because you're not an administrator, then that's something.
Yeah, I'm an administrator. I only got one person on the computer now.
All right, so then you didn't get that error message. The thing you might be missing.
It said something about I had to have an IP address or something.
Right, you need your username and your password for your email, and you need the address of the mail server.
Yeah, see, I couldn't figure out. They wanted two IP addresses.
Well, they don't need to be IP addresses. They can be names. But
what I was looking at, I remember now, they asked for IP addresses.
Okay, but what you need to do is talk to your, and you say you get your internet service through Verizon?
Verizon, yeah.
Yeah. What you need to do is talk to them and tell them they don't need to help you install it. They just need to give you the information of your username and password.
Well, that's what I asked them. That's what I did ask them.
Verizon may not support Thunderbird.
They don't support Thunderbird,
right.
They said.
Right, well, they only support Outlook Express. So since you want...
Well, so what I want, and I just put in a couple of extra Verizon services, and I'm using those.
Right.
So like Thunderbird.
Yeah, you're calling a company and asking them to do something for you. They want to get paid for that.
Right.
Yeah, well,
but what you could do is call them and just ask for the information. Because you're not asking them to support a product they don't support. You're just asking them, give me the name of the mail in, the mail out.
Top 3 server, the SMTP.
Right. So you just need the names of those servers.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm just going to forget it because I'm getting along this way. See, I have trouble on MSN. The printing comes out screwy. And it always has here, and I've never been able to figure out why.
Well, MSN has... Listen, hang on to the line there, Tom. We got to take a quick break. But we'll come back to you after the break, okay? So hold on. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 41 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, I'm Phil Dodd, and I think you'll like the mix of music I play every weekday afternoon. I play today's best artists as well as the classic performers who made jazz America's own special art form. I also feature the standards, songs that have stood the test of time and are constantly being reinvented by jazz musicians. So please join me, Phil Dodd, noon to 3, Monday through Friday, right here on Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
Welcome to Move Time Radio, presented by the Arthritis Foundation. Yeah, get down and dance. You hear that? That's the sound of arthritis pain being moved, grooved, hustled, shuffled, juke, jive, junked, funk, shimmy, shook, and boogied. See, movement is just one of the ways to help fight osteoarthritis pain. Another is weight loss. You get rid of just 1 pound, that's 4 pounds of pressure off each knee. For more information on managing pain, wind and grind on over to fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Professional Instant Press, a copy, fax, print center serving Monroe, Wayne, and Ontario counties. Professional Instant Press offers offset printing, binding and collating, digital copies, executive stationery, color business cards, placket mounting, custom forms and resumes, design, screen printing, and embroidery. Professional Instant Press now carries print-on-demand invitations and also Birchcraft and Encore for weddings and other special events. Professional Instant Press, a positive printing experience. In the Lyle Mount Reed Plaza, 254-7275, 254-7275.
Listeners who listen on a regular basis may want to support Jazz 90.1 that way too. If your budget is organized around monthly expenses, it may be more convenient to support Jazz 90.1 monthly as well. For example, a pledge of $10 a month would mean $120 a year in support. The payment amount you choose is automatically made each month directly from your credit or debit card. You can stop the monthly payment at any time, and we confirm each payment by email. For more information about the Jazz 90.1 monthly gift option, call 966-2660 or visit us online at www.jazz901.org. With the monthly gift option, it's easier than ever for you to become a member of Jazz 90.1.
Do you feel like some live jazz tonight? Then listen for the Club Calendar with Joelle Van Buren. Every day at 9:40 a.m., 2:40, 5:40, and 7:40 p.m., Joelle tells you who's playing jazz and blues that night and where. You'll always know where the jazz is when you check out the Club Calendar with Joelle Van Buren, four times daily on Jazz 90.1 and online at jazz901.org.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit. Join me and the entire Smart Set tonight from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Tom still on the line. Now, Tom, what was your second question, a printing problem?
Well, the problem is when I'm on MSN, I'm in my emails, and I go to print a part out of the email, I only get part of it, and it's always been that way, so I always transferred the mail over to Thunderbird, and I could print over there.
Right.
Now I'm transferring it over to Verizon, and I'm printing over there.
Yeah. When you go to print, do you get the whole web page, or do you just get your email, but it's only part of your email?
I get the part of the web page and part of my list on the side with my email boxes.
Yeah. What it sounds like is there's two ways you can print. One is from the top menu, right? File, print.
No, I don't think I ever saw that.
Okay. And then the other way is from inside MSN, which should actually...
I usually right-click and print.
Yeah, that's not probably the right one.
And when I get the preview, it shows the mailboxes and half of the...
Right,
yeah, you're printing the web page. You're not printing the message.
Right, and generally speaking, somewhere when you open a message, see, I don't use MSN, so I can't lead you right to it. But generally speaking, somewhere in that inside that page, there should be a link to print.
Well, some of them are. Then I can print.
Right.
If I can move it that way, and it comes up, I can print.
Yeah.
Like I just click on this thing here, and it comes up. And in that window, I can print.
There you go.
But I can't print what I originally wanted to print. That's only the thing I clicked out of the mail.
No. I'm not saying on a right click or any of that stuff, but actually...
No, it's a left click, and it brings... I highlighted something in the mail.
No, you shouldn't have to highlight either. There should just be a print button right on that screen.
No, there isn't an MSN. I never found it.
Oh, well, maybe, like I said, I don't use MSN, and I apologize.
Yeah, well, it didn't used to do it. I had three MS sites, and two of them were, I think they were Outlet Express and not Hotmail.
Right.
And I could print out of those. But now when I set up my new computer, I couldn't get back into those same sites.
You should, if you use Outlook Express, is that what you're using now?
No, I'm using Hotmail now. They all the old sites switched over to Hotmail automatically
right.
when I brought them up new this time.
Right. Because Microsoft is trying to consolidate all of that.
Yeah, they're actually they're trying to get rid of Hotmail and go to Windows Live Mail.
Windows 7, it's taken me, weeks to figure out what's going on.
Well, Windows 7 doesn't use Outlook Express anyways.
No, but I mean, I was XP and it's such a change. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. If you try downloading Thunderbird and installing Thunderbird
again.
That may work. And if it doesn't, write down the error message and give us a call back. And
one other thing, though, Tom, is to get rid of Thunderbird thoroughly.
I dumped it out.
Oh, okay.
Mozilla works great. I don't have any trouble with it.
Well, if you reinstall Thunderbird it's going to...
Thunderbird is Mozilla.
Well, he might be using the Firefox part.
I removed Thunderbird because I couldn't get the mail part to work.
Right, but if you reinstall it now that you've got Outlook up and running, it's going to sit there and say, oh, wait a minute, you're using Outlook. Would you prefer to use Thunderbird? And it will copy over all your emails, all your address books, and then you can continue to use that.
Well, I'm using Hotmail now.
Right.
Well, but you're using Hotmail from inside a web browser.
Yeah, well, I use Verizon. I don't know what theirs is.
Well, Verizon is an internet service. It's still not a web browser.
Yeah.
So you could
a web browser for Verizon.
Right, but is that web browser Firefox? Is it Internet Explorer? Which web browser is it?
It's Internet Explorer.
Right. So Thunderbird is a standalone mail program that does not use a web browser to get your mail.
Right. You're using the web browser, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It gets you to your mail. You're just having a problem with the printing. And I know there's a way to print from Hotmail directly to directly, but I just don't know exactly where it is.
I've never figured it out.
Okay.
Well, we'll see what we can come up with.
I thought I'd tell you. I gave up Dell because they wanted to screw me.
To print a message in Hotmail, open the message you want to print, click the print button in the toolbar.
But there's no print button on MSN.
Are you in Hotmail or are you in MSN?
You keep changing
where you are on us. Now, I need to know exactly where you actually are.
I'm on MSN.
Using the MSN browser or using Internet Explorer browser?
Well, it's probably Verizon because it says
Verizon's your supplier. That has nothing to do with the browser.
Now, what are you asking me now?
Which web browser are you going to MSN with?
Hotmail.
Hotmail is a website. It is not a browser.
Oh. Well, I'm on... It's actually Internet Explorer from Verizon.
Right. But,
Internet Explorer
right.
from Microsoft, and Verizon is your internet provider.
That's all right. They may have branded it, and so we'll ignore that part.
It says Window Live Hotmail, Window Internet Explorer.
Right, so you're in the Internet Explorer browser.
So you're in Windows Live Hotmail.
There should be a print button in the toolbar.
Right. When you open up a message.
Yes, but it does the same thing. When I print from there, it'll do the same goofy way. I'll just print something right now.
Wait, stop. Don't print anything yet.
Well, it's already printed it.
Okay.
It does the same way. It comes out half. It'll be out in a second.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal.
Okay. I have the icon that says print.
All right. Is it the little print?
Is it the little printer icon?
Says
print, and then it says AL1 plus R.
On your Hotmail.
It also shows a page setup.
On your Hotmail.
Not in the file menu.
Okay, you see on the screen Windows Live, you see Hotmail. To the left of the word Hotmail, you see New and Delete Junk and Mark As.
Yes.
Just past that, there's a little picture of a printer.
Yes, I see that one.
Click that.
And that should print the message, not
the
web page.
Okay, it did come up.
There you go. That's the print button for the message.
That did come up.
Yep. There you go.
That's the way I can print it.
There you go.
I never saw that.
So that's the thing you're looking for.
You're printing the message, not printing the web page.
Right. It works that way.
All right. Excellent.
Have fun.
So thank you for the information.
You're
glad
welcome,
to, glad
sir.
To help you out, Tom.
And
tell
I
a friend.
Chance, I'll monkey with Thunderbird again and tell you how I made out.
Well, you're good now with what you got.
Yeah, but I always liked Thunderbird.
Okay,
Thunderbird
well,
is great. All right, thanks. It is difficult. Many times it is very difficult, particularly when you have a brand new interface like that to get the full thing.
Yeah,
and it's a little annoying with Windows 7 that there's no mail program built in, and so whatever you're used to on your old computer is not there, and you have to reinstall
it. And they changed everything around on Windows 7 too, drastically, like in the control panel. Is a drastic change from Windows XP to Windows 7. I mean, I'm sorry, the one thing is add remove programs. What was wrong with that? Now it's programs and features.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, yeah, we'll
all
be
right.
used to it.
Yeah.
Well,
I
saw a screenshot from Europe that the European version of Windows, after the EU slapped Microsoft, when you first turn on Windows, you get a little screen presenting all the different browsers, i.e. Firefox, Chrome, whatever, and asking which one you want to use, and then presenting all the different mail programs and asking which one you want to use.
Interesting.
That's kind of interesting.
You should always pick Chrome and Gmail. I'm just saying. All right. Our next caller is Paul. Where are you calling from, Paul?
Albion.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ask you the tough question there.
Or you're just sad that you're an Albion.
Yeah, maybe he just didn't want to admit it. That's...
He's dreaming, you know, he heard us talk about Arizona and the dry heat, and he's probably off, you know, wishing he was there.
He was about to answer Tucson.
Well, the sun is shining.
Albion is
I know what the Daystar is out. It burns.
Albion is the oldest known name of the island of Great Britain.
Stop it. All right.
Okay, I got a problem.
Yeah.
I think I may have a Trojan or some other type of something. When I go to log into a couple of sites, like one of online auction sites, I don't know if you want me to mention any names or anything.
Yeah, probably eBay.
Yeah, and that's one of them, and actually a financial site. When I type in my username and password, a different screen pops up. It looks like it's one of their own, but it asks for personal information, and it uses the one uses bad grammar. You know,
you've been hit.
You've been hacked.
Yeah, that's one of the known ones, as a matter of fact.
Okay, and the thing is, what's my next step to...
Have you run both Super Anti-Spyware and Malwarebytes?
I've done the Windows Waltz, yep.
You've done the Windows Waltz and it's still not gone?
Yeah.
All right, then you probably need to take it to somebody like Dave. And what he's going to have to do is whoever you take it to a reputable dealer, Dave, Steve, you know, whoever you've got out there in Albion or on the Isle of Britain. And they will probably have to take the drive out of your machine and set it up as a secondary drive on another machine and clean it that way, because many of these viruses nowadays and these Trojans and these things hide themselves in areas that Windows cannot easily reach.
In fact, sometimes you have to run the programs in safe mode to remove the stuff that is running in the background.
Well, that's typically what the way I do it.
In fact, you may find in msconfig there's a run equals command that's launching whatever this thing is to reinfect you. So it may be that running the Waltz is disinfecting you, but then there's a setting or maybe even your homepage setting, so the next time you connect to the internet, it reinfects you.
Okay. Now, on the one page, auction site, now, because it doesn't do this on another computer, I sent them information on what's going on with it, and I went back to the first computer and kind of clicked and dragged and copied the whole page that it's asking me the information.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I pasted that, there were several boxes that weren't on the original what I copied,
right,
with information on there, which also had my username and
you might have been hit,
password on it.
You might have been hit by a clickjack.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure your flash is up to date. there was an exploit in Flash that was called clickjacking, where an invisible button can be put on top of a real button. So you think you're clicking your eBay login button, but there's really another button on top of that that's invisible that says, steal my eBay button.
Here's the more important thing you need to do. You need to immediately go to the house of a friend who you know is not infected, change your eBay password, and change wherever else you went, your financial site in particular.
Yeah, I already did that on for both of those.
Good, because they have your old username and password.
Okay.
No question of that.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to get your machine cleaned immediately before you ever log on to either of those websites again.
Okay.
This is really kind of critical. So take it to a reputable dealer, have them remove the drive and disinfect it, and you'll be back up and ready to go.
Okay.
And in fact, log on to do eBay, because that's less of a mitigate. You know, that's less of an exposure. Log on to eBay while you're in their shop and see what happens. And then make sure your antivirus. Yes. After they fix it, make sure it's clean. And then make sure your antivirus is up to date. Make sure you know all of that stuff, and be very careful where you're going.
Or another place
you
might be
on.
Able to go to, especially, is like the library, because the library has so many lockdowns on their machines that you know the stuff isn't getting in.
Well, but even so, I mean, if he's already changed the username and password, then he needs to go and get the machine cleaned. Okie doke.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you. We are going to take a break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes. It's Dave Enright, it's Steve Ray, and it's Nick Francesco, and it's each and every one of you. You're on live with us. You're on IRC. You're on the web stream, the audio stream, rather. You're on Ustream. I don't know where you are, but
information
we're all
overload.
Doing whatever we're doing, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. And let us never forget that we are member-supported radio. And I want to thank all those of you who've been supporting us over this last year. We've been honored to have your support. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes on Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester,
a public service of the Greece Central School District.
Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Join us on Sundays 5 to 7 on Jazz 90.1 for Big Road Blues, an exploration of vintage blues spanning the 1920s through the 1970s. Tune in to Big Road Blues with host Jeff Harris as he digs deep into blues history, spotlighting blues legends and forgotten blues heroes. Along the way, he'll fill you in on the stories and history behind the music. That's Big Road Blues every Sunday, 5 to 7 on Jazz 90.1 with your host, Jeff Harris.
Here's another I Love New York travel tip.
Lake Placid's rich history of hosting the best in winter sports continues March 28th to April 3rd as athletes from around the world gather at the Olympic Sports Complex for the America's Cup bobsled and skeleton competition. America's Cup features men and women's skeleton, as well as two-man, four-man, and women's bobsled. Many of these athletes are up-and-comers, looking to gain sliding experience with their sights set on making their respective Olympic and national teams. It's exhilarating, heart-pounding winter sports excitement, and it's right here in New York State.
For more information, dial 1-800-CALL-NYS. That's 1-800-CALL-NEW-YORK-STATE. Or visit the I Love New York website at iloveny.com.
Showcasing the best in winter sports. Another reason I love New York.
Listeners who listen on a regular basis may want to support Jazz 90.1 that way, too. If your budget is organized around monthly expenses, it may be more convenient to support Jazz 90.1 monthly as well. For example, a pledge of $10 a month would mean $120 a year in support. The payment amount you choose is automatically made each month directly from your credit or debit card. You can stop the monthly payment at any time, and we confirm each payment by email. For more information about the Jazz 90.1 monthly gift option, call 966-2660 or visit us online at www.jazz901.org. With the monthly gift option, it's easier than ever for you to become a member of Jazz 90.1.
I'm Marie Osmond. Choices, some are minor, others life-changing. But what if your small choices matter the most, like the stairs or the elevator, baked or fried? What if these small choices determine if you'll be the one out of every three women who die of heart disease this year? These choices might not seem life-changing today, but women are dying of heart disease at the rate of almost one per minute. Luckily, it's mostly preventable. Choose to act. Our hearts, our choice. Make your choice at GoRedForWomen.org.
Listeners who listen on a regular basis may want to support Jazz 90.1 that way, too. If your budget is organized around monthly expenses, it may be more convenient to support Jazz 90.1 monthly as well. For example, a pledge of $10 a month would mean $120 a year in support. The payment amount you choose is automatically made each month directly from your credit or debit card. You can stop the monthly payment at any time, and we confirm each payment by email. For more information about the Jazz 90.1 monthly gift option, call 966-2660 or visit us online at www.jazz901.org. With the monthly gift option, it's easier than ever for you to become a member of Jazz 90.1.
Be sure to join Jazz 90.1 for a live performance of the Rick Holland Quintet, Wednesday, March 10th from 7 to 8 p.m. The Rick Holland Quintet features Rick Holland on trumpet, Matt Stuver on barry and tenor sax, Nick Weiser on piano, David Barron on bass, and Alan Ward on drums. The Jazz 90.1 live studio concert series continues with the Rick Holland Quintet, Wednesday, March 10th from 7 to 8 p.m. on Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I be Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. All right. Our next news item. Ho-ho! Android's growth has been pretty spectacular over the past few quarters, according to Quantcast, a web analytics firm. Apple, if they needed a reason to go after HTC and by proxy Google, may have had it in market share numbers. Android's growth has been pretty spectacular over the last few quarters. While iPhone is clearly the market leader in web consumption with over four times the share as Android, its nearest competitor, recent trends show that they aren't standing on firm ground. In the last month, the iPhone has lost 3.2% of its market share compared with RIM and Android, both gaining considerably. This isn't just a monthly blip either, at least with regards to Android. Google's phone market has grown 44% over the past quarter and almost doubled over the past year, while the iPhone has lost around 5% and 10% of the overall market over those same periods. The iPhone is still gaining users and page views. Android is just gaining so much faster. According to some sources, Steve Jobs told an Apple town hall meeting, "We did not enter the search business," Jobs said. "Google entered the phone business. Make no mistake, they want to kill the iPhone. We won't let them. This won't be evil mantra. It's BS." The audience roared. While lawsuits aren't going to make your smartphone experience any better, yeah, competition will. People love it. It should be very interesting to see what Apple does in the technology space to take on Google. It certainly sounds like the game is on. So our question, are all you Apple fanboys horribly upset that some other phone is getting a little attention? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Just like Jim did. Where are you calling from, Jim?
Rondaquoit.
Rondaquoit, New York. And what can we do for you?
This is a shot in the dark, but the computer that we use at work is hooked up to, I believe, Windows 2000.
Okay.
And this is a specific computer. The info center people haven't been able to figure out. Every time the girl turns on the computer in the morning, it shoots out a page that was printed out previously. Every time. She says every time she shuts it down and turns it back on in the morning, a page shoots out that has been printed previously, but it still prints it again.
Yeah.
Stuck in the print queue. I've seen that happen where the job is printed, and then for some reason the computer doesn't know it's finished printing, and it stays in the queue. So then the next time you restart the printer, or restart the computer, it goes, oh, there's a job in the queue. I better print it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can fix that by deleting and then re-adding the print queue. You should also check your printer drivers to make sure you have the latest driver for that printer, for that operating system.
Yeah. But now she's gone through, to the main people that beyond the departmental people, and they seem to not be able to know what to do. Doesn't that seem odd?
Well, from the main people at her work?
Yes.
Not necessarily. Not everybody, if,
yeah.
You'd think they'd be able to fix it, yes.
Let's say, so we update drivers. Sounds like that's what I suggested. It may be the drivers that are, maybe got corrupted or something.
It could easily be that. It could also be that the print spool has been changed to read-only accidentally.
Print spool, what's that?
The print spool. What happens when you go to print, it doesn't print to the printer. It prints it to a file, and then in the background prints that file out to the computer so that you get your computer back faster. Yep. And the printer's so slow anyway that you don't even notice it.
Mm-hmm.
So that file is where your print job is kept, mm-hmm. right? Now, if that file is not being deleted, the next time you turn the machine on, the machine goes, oh, huh, print file.
Yep.
Spooler's full. Well, there must be something I should be printing.
Right.
So what you need to do is you need to go to that file, which is generally at c:\windows\system32\spool\printers. So it's c:\windows\system32\spool\printers. And then in there is in that folder, you'll find a bunch of printers, usually by name. Maybe you'll only find one because you've only got one printer connected.
Right.
Right-click on that. Select Properties from the drop-down menu. And look to see if there's a read-only checkbox. If there is, uncheck it. Now, you have to do that as the systems administrator on that machine.
Right.
But once you've done that, theoretically, that fixes the problem.
Okay. All right, thanks for your help.
All right.
Hey, thank you.
Now, theoretically, the next time he starts it up.
Just remember one thing, though.
Yeah.
Tell a friend about us.
Okay, will.
And don't forget, we easily gave you enough help that nobody else could give you, so you need to become a member. It's Chicago-style joining this month. Join early, join often. We don't even start the pledge drive for another week or so. So if you join now, you're ahead of the curve. Hey, you're a Soundbites listener. You're already ahead of the curve. We all know that, don't we?
You are the curve.
You are the curve. The curve has nothing on you. You're the best, so this is your chance to prove it to the world. Join early. Join often. Our next caller is this Elmer?
Yep. Yes, this is Elmer from Greece, New York.
How are things in Greece, Elmer?
Oh, melting quickly.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Can actually see the grass.
Yep. What can we do for you?
You'll have to mow it next week.
Yeah, right.
First off, I'd like to thank you for the security tango. I do that every week.
You're absolutely welcome.
And second, I am currently using Eudora for my email client.
Wow. Yeah.
I really like it. As far as I'm concerned, I'd love to keep using it, but obviously, we've got to be realistic here. Qualcomm hasn't supported it for some time, and I'm not sure anybody has picked it up. So I'm wondering if you guys know of anything that I could use to convert my stuff over to, say, Thunderbird or something like that.
Well, at one point, because I used to use Eudora, I loved Eudora, but they gave up on it, essentially, and they said they were going to turn everything over to Thunderbird, essentially.
And it's called the Penelope Project, and version 8 is in beta.
Yeah, so until we get more than that. That you can migrate from Eudora to Thunderbird. You can do it automatically, of course. The first time you start up Thunderbird, the import wizard will pop up, and one of the choices is Eudora.
Oh, okay.
So that's really, you know, if you haven't yet installed Thunderbird, that's the way to do it.
Okay, actually, my wife uses the same computer, and she is currently using Thunderbird.
In that case, you go to the Tools menu, select Import, and then you have to individually import your mail, your address books, and your settings from Eudora.
Oh, okay. If I can do that, then I should be all set. I mean, I love Eudora, but I'm concerned that sooner or later it's going to stop working.
Oh, yeah, and maybe sooner rather than later. I would love to see more Eudora, but it really doesn't look like... Now you say that what's the new name of it?
Penelope.
Penelope.
On the if the Eudora webpage is still there and it says version 8 is in beta from the Penelope project.
And what year is it listed as?
Actually, it hasn't said. I didn't see a date on that, but yeah.
Yeah, that's a concern I have too. I mean, I figured we'll give them a year or so to get started up, but I know it's been longer than that now.
The copyright page still says 2008.
Yeah.
Bad sign.
Yeah, it's a very bad sign.
Okay. Well, I'm one of those people that makes an image backup of his hard drive every week, so sometime after I've done that, I'll give the conversion a shot and see what happens.
Yeah, basically, yeah, the Penelope is actually an extension to Thunderbird.
Oh, okay.
To give you the Eudora user experience in Thunderbird. But, yeah, absolutely, give it a try. You should be able to import everything right from it.
I had to convert a user this week from Eudora on her Mac. She had a 5 or 6 year old Mac and was getting a new model, and I found a really neat. I'm trying to fix the camera. Yeah, the Ustream camera is switched to my internal eyesight, and I don't know why yet.
Yeah, so all you can see on the Ustream right now is Steve, and the user number of viewers is dropping quickly. I don't know if that's related at all. I'm sure it's not.
Well, who was it that said there's someone on the camera and it's not Dave? Wayoon. Wrong K. Can you point to this camera, Dave? Yeah. Yeah, who's that behind me? We'll just leave him on the camera.
Yeah, right. Charlie Parker.
Charlie Parker, yeah.
It's Charlie Parker. All right. Yeah, it's we're having a few technical difficulties here, apparently. What happens is the camera has apparently changed to the internal eyesight camera that comes with the Mac, and apparently the software is not good at handling multiple cameras.
Well, Wyoon's been playing with Ustream too. He set it up so I could see down at his place,
yeah,
down there where he lives, and seeing he had the front yard going and all that. So now he gets to suffer with us.
That's exactly.
Same
right.
With
so
Dory.
He could actually see. He could see a little sunshine. You could see a little sunshine is really what you were looking at there.
They're suffering with 60-degree temperatures.
I already told him I hate him. I already told him online I hate him. I hate these people who do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Nasty, nasty people.
Says, oh, it's only going to get up to the 60s.
Shut up.
That's a heat wave. Heck, I'd have the bike out.
Shut up.
Be out there with the motorcycle all
that's
over
exactly
again.
Right.
Oh, can't wait.
I know. Eudora, for those of you who don't know, was one of the earlier email programs named after Eudora Welty, who wrote a program called I Live at the Post Office. No, that's not exactly what it's called. Something along that line. And it was a great program. I used it for many years, and I absolutely loved it. And I cried when they basically said, yeah, we're not gonna do it anymore. It's too bad. It was a great program. But it's you know, one of the standard tragedies of the computer world. They were a shareware program download it for free, give it a try, and then pay for it when you think you're going to continue to use it. And when only a few percentage of the people who bought it paid for it, they could not continue to develop it because they weren't making enough money out of it. Now, let that be a cautionary tale to you as we remind you that we're coming up on membership drive time. So those of you who remember Eudora, Jim Button of Buttonware.
Ooh.
He was the very first guy. He essentially created the idea of shareware. And I sent him, you know, I forget what his the Zip program, I think it was, and I sent him a couple of bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote back and he said, "Wow, you're the first guy ever." He said, "Yeah, this is great. I've never, you know, I can actually make money at this." And I thought, well, not at a couple of bucks a pop, but okay, good for you.
Yeah, I tried my hand at that too. I wrote a program in Pascal. And like you say, put it up there for shareware. And I had one person pay me the. I was always asking for was $5.
Yep.
I had one person actually pay me the $5.
It's people don't want to pay for their software. I hope that when we come around to the membership drive, that people will want to pay for us because we'd like to stay on the air. The typical home user running Windows faces the unreasonable task of patching software an average of every 5 days, according to a security and vulnerability research company. It's completely unreasonable to expect users to master so many different patch mechanisms and spend so much time patching, said Thomas Kirstensen, the chief security officer of Secunia. The result is that few consumers devote the time and attention necessary to stay atop the patching job, which leaves them open to attack. According to Secunia, of the users who ran the company's personal software inspector the last week of January, half had 66 or more programs from 22 or more different vendors on their machines, and I can believe that. PSI's this personal software inspector is a free tool that scans PCs to produce a list of vulnerable software, but does not itself initiate updates. Instead, users are directed to the appropriate vendor patch site. Nearly 2 million copies of the tool have been downloaded since Secunia debuted it in 2007. After comparing the software portfolios on each machine with the bug Secunia tracked during 2009, Secunia determined that the typical user faced nearly 300 vulnerabilities during the year, and the number of vendors represented on the PC had to deal with approximately 75 patch incidents annually. This averages out to a patch every 4.9 days. It surprised us that there's so many applications on the system, said Kirstensen. And then there were so many updates they had to do in a year. Also important, he said, was that the typical user had to master 22 different patch mechanisms, one from each of the 22 software companies whose programs were on her PC. That's why we called for software vendors to create a unified patching standard last year, said Kirstensen, referring to the pitch Secunia made at the RSA conference in 2009. The company's offer did not go over well. A few vendors said we want to hear more, but a lot just ignored it or turned down the idea outright. Rather than wait on software makers to come up with a single patch mechanism, something that's pretty unlikely in any case, Secunia has stepped up to produce a patching tool that will eventually handle 70-80% of the software on consumers' Windows machines. Now, you Linux people get to be smug here because unless there's something very odd in your system, one click updates every single program on your system from the operating system to the lowliest utility you've got. But give us a call if you're tired of patching. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. That music tells me we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 21 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on
member-supported
Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Tom Pethick. Please join me every Monday evening from 6 to 9 as we take a journey into jazz. We'll hear music from homegrown jazz musicians such as vibist Joe Locke and the late legendary saxophonist Joe Romano. And of course, we'll hear music from today's new artists. That's Monday evenings from 6 to 9, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
We all lock our doors at night to keep our family safe, but we can't so easily lock out H1N1 flu.
Truth is, you can. The simplest and safest protection against H1N1 recommended by the CDC is vaccination. The H1N1 vaccine is safe, effective, and the most important step to keeping healthy.
Stop H1N1 at the door. Keep it away from your family.
Get yourself and the ones you love vaccinated. Visit flu.gov to get a vaccination near you.
Be the one to protect your family from H1N1.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Station Manager Rob Linton. The Jazz 90.1 Spring Membership Campaign is about to begin. Now is the time to renew your membership or become a brand new member to keep the jazz going on Jazz 90.1. When you consider becoming a member of Jazz 90.1, think about how much time you spend listening, how much you enjoy the great jazz music and special programs you can't hear anywhere else, and how much it means to you to keep jazz at your fingertips on the radio and internet. Remember, Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members. We receive no funding from the Greece Central School District, no government grants, and no large corporate sponsorships like other large public radio stations. We're counting on you to keep Jazz 90.1 on the air. Please call now, 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free to 1-800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Thank you for supporting member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Pledge now at the $35 level and above until the start of the membership campaign on March 17th and receive a special bonus gift CD along with the other great thank you gifts available at each level. Go to our website, www.jazz901.org, or call 966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, and support Jazz 90.1.
Listeners who listen on a regular basis may want to support Jazz 90.1 that way, too. If your budget is organized around monthly expenses, it may be more convenient to support Jazz 90.1 monthly as well. For example, a pledge of $10 a month would mean $120 a year in support. The payment amount you choose is automatically made each month directly from your credit or debit card. You can stop the monthly payment at any time, and we confirm each payment by email. For more information about the Jazz 90.1 monthly gift option, call 966-2660 or visit us online at www.jazz901.org. With the monthly gift option, it's easier than ever for you to become a member of Jazz 90.1. Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and by Exodus to Jazz Productions, presenting An Evening with the Gabriel Alegría Afro-Peruvian Sextet, Friday, March 12th, 8 p.m. at the downtown Radisson Hotel. Tickets are on sale at all Wegmans locations and at ticketweb.com. For more information, call 733-7685 or you can visit exodustojazz.com.
Hey, this is Rip Savage. Join me tonight for Fusion, 10 p.m., right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Our next caller is Dave. Where are you calling from, Dave?
From Henrietta.
And what can we do for you?
Yeah, I've got a question for Steve here about my G5 that I've got. I'm getting an unusual problem that's hit and miss. And I'm running 10.4.8, the last one, I think.
10.4.11 was 11. The last there of the 10.4s, yeah.
And I've been working with a photographer. He sent me some DVDs, some images that he took. And one DVD booted up fine. The second didn't even show up on the desktop. So I took it out and tried it again, and still wouldn't show up. Then, like a day later, it would boot up on the desktop. And I also noticed that when I burn some DVDs, some of them burn okay. And then sometimes when I burn a DVD, like the blank one will show up, you know, on the screen and open up to the Finder, right? But after I've burned a set of images to the disk and files, and that's completed the burn, that DVD doesn't show up on the desktop.
Yeah, it sounds like a problem with the optical drive.
Okay.
You can try a drive head cleaner. What can happen is that the laser lens inside the drive can get dusty over time, and then the laser's not focusing properly, so then it's not burning properly, and then it can't read it properly.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so you could try that, or you may end up needing to replace that optical drive.
Okay. Can I ask you another quick question?
Sure.
I've got virus, Norton antivirus, and every few months, it might be 4 or 5 months in between, there's an alert message that says something about stopping something called port scan.
Port scanning is a part of most operating systems. In the Apple network utility, there's a port scanner, and what it does is it looks on your computer's TCP ports to see what traffic is going through. Is your computer directly connected to the internet, or are you connected through a local router?
No, directly.
No, that's the problem. There are malicious programs on the internet that scan for any open ports on any computer connected to the internet. So if you had a web server on your computer, it would need to be connected to the live internet so people could get to you. So the bad guys are scanning for these ports, looking for open computers, looking for unpatched PCs mostly, to try to exploit problems that are known in the PC world.
I mean, when you say directly connected, I am connected through a it's through Frontier.
Right. You have the Frontier router. You don't have your own router?
No.
Okay. One of the big things we recommend for everyone is to get their own local router, because that gives you a firewall from the internet, so you're not directly connected to the internet.
I see.
So most of those bad programs that are scanning the internet get stopped at your firewall and don't ever even get into your computer. The other big advantage of these local routers is that they let you share the internet with multiple computers, and it's very common these days for people to have multiple computers. But even if it's your only computer, it's a good idea to have a router for that firewall. So what's happening is there's just bad guys on the internet scanning ports trying to find a computer to break into.
And the good news is Norton stopped them.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, you are paying for your Norton, yes?
I'm sorry?
You are paying for your Norton.
Oh yeah,
the annual subscription. Yeah,
because
a lot of people will. Yeah,
right?
Yep, a lot of people get Norton with their computers, or they get the 90-day demo, and then they don't renew it, and so it stopped working then. And a lot of people think they have Norton, but it isn't working because they haven't renewed it.
But if you've been paying for it, you're good to go.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's a good idea every now and then to check the Norton program itself and see what the date of your virus definitions are, and make sure that they're up to date.
Yeah, so, I do it every week anyway.
That's a good idea.
What kind of a router would you recommend? Like the Apple AirPort or whatever?
Well, the Apple AirPort routers have additional features. You can get a basic Linksys router, $50-$60. Apple has a router for $100 that lets you do wireless printing. In addition to wireless speakers, mm-hmm. So a lot of people with laptops like that, because you're on the laptop with your couch and your printer's connected to the router.
Yeah.
And then their higher-end AirPort Extreme router has gigabit wired ports. So when you get up into the gigabit wired ports, it also has a USB port for a network hard drive. So the Apple routers have a lot more features, which makes them a little more expensive than some mm-hmm. of the regular other generic routers.
What was the brand name of the other one?
Linksys is a very good brand. It's now owned by Cisco, which runs the internet.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Virtually every router on the internet is Cisco these days.
And they're literally just plug it in, set it up, and it's very user-friendly.
Yeah. There's a technical a slight price difference between wired routers and wireless routers. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will get a wireless router in case they get wireless computers later on, because it's like $10 more. To get wireless capability. If you do get a wireless router, the big thing there is to remember to put a password on
that
wireless.
Right.
Even if you're not using the wireless yourself, mm-hmm. you want to put a password on the wireless.
Or turn it off.
Or turn it off completely. So
if you're not going to use it, I just turn it off for folks. Heck, with even putting passwords on it.
Apple routers also have a guest feature where it actually will create two networks. You have your private network that you and your local computers use, and then there's a guest network that can only get to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have guests come over to your house with their laptops, they can get to the internet, but they can't get to any of your stuff.
But you should always have that closed, turned off, unless you have guests in your home.
Right. Mm-hmm. Although, leave it on for plausible deniability.
Yeah, right.
All right, well, thank you, and it's great to hear you in your new home here.
Thank you. We're very happy to be here.
Tell a friend.
Yeah,
and become a member.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Excellent. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
All right, kiddies. This is for all you members out there. Yes, it's that time again. All right, everybody, get on your footy jammies, grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave.
Uh-huh. Yep. Missed it last week.
I know.
But guess what? Smokey, I'm not your problem. What the problem is you got to give up smoking if you don't want to destroy your machine. And by that I mean, I can clean things. I can go in and I can clean off the motherboard and I can blow out the dust and everything else. But when it comes to that tar and nicotine, I can't clean your stupid DVD drive. So if it goes sour, don't blame me because we got to replace it.
That's what I was just mentioning earlier. Those lenses get dirty.
Yes, and there is no cleaning kit that'll allow you to do it. You've got to be just happy with what it is, and it's still working, but I'm sorry, we can only, you know, especially disgusting, I gotta sit there and scrape off all that tar and nicotine off the CPU fan.
Yep.
It wasn't even turning. It was so heavy, weighted down by the tar and nicotine, and taking that off. He's lucky he didn't burn up the whole machine. But yet, he comes in, well, you know, that's a heck of a thing. Now I gotta pay for that. Why wasn't this done before? I'm sorry, but there's no way, you know, if it was reading DVDs, it was reading it. How often you smoke and get the tar and nicotine in there and finally coat that lens, I can't sit there and tell you, you know, the only thing I can tell you is don't smoke right in front of it. That machine is literally a huge vacuum cleaner, and it's sucking it right on in. You're not doing yourself any favor. You know, well, I ain't coming here anymore. Got all bent out of shape because of his habit.
I know
it's my fault.
People yeah. hate to be told about their smoking habit in particular.
Well, I can see
it's your fault that he smokes and blew the smoke into the computer.
Well, I know service providers that refuse to accept computers from heavy smokers because they're just so disgusting to get in there.
They're utterly disgusting.
And then they stink up your whole service department.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Well, because when they're running them, which you got to run them. I mean, usually the first thing we'll do is we'll take it right on outside. Because I've got a compressor out, you know, a line going out with my compressor, and I literally blow it all on out. And it's just not a standard compressor, folks, so you got to watch it. You know, if you've got a compressor, don't try this at home, because my compressor at the shop has what they call an inline filter. Because even the best compressors, if you don't have an inline filter, is going to blow more moisture into the computer. That's a bad thing. Mine has this filter on it that filters out all the moisture coming through the air, because there is moisture in the air, and it'll take it on out, so I'm not blowing any water into your machine, and it cleans it all out. But they do stink, and those tar and that nicotine, like I said, people don't realize it's a huge vacuum cleaner, just sucking right on in there, and it doesn't take long for it to coat over those lenses. And there's no way to get in there to get to that DVD or CD-ROM drive to clean the optical head. And I wouldn't even want to try, because all you got to do is hit it wrong, say with a Q-tip or anything else, you're knocking it off alignment, and then it's not going to work at all.
And tar and nicotine are so thick, you got to scrape it off anyway. You can't just Q-tip it off.
And you're probably going to pay more in labor to try to clean it than you would to just replace
it. Yeah, I mean, a new drive, you know, what? $35 for a 22X DVD drive, put it in, you're good to go, you know, for another few years until you smoke that one up.
Right.
But folks don't realize, and I know it's a hard habit. I used to smoke many moons ago. You know, I got hooked on it when I was in the Marine Corps, and I know it's a hard habit too, but if you're going to smoke, put the computer down on the floor.
Right.
So too many folks have it right up on their desk.
Or get
and the
one
ashtrays
of those ashtrays that has a fan in it.
Yeah, or sucks it out, or the filtration system.
Right.
You know, I can't stress it enough. It'll help cut down your bill and make your computer last a little bit longer.
I've heard stories about spouses that have tried to get their spouse for years to quit smoking, and they wouldn't. Then the cat gets sick, and they stop smoking.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care if you get sick, but my poor kitty.
That's exactly right. All right, kitties, that's it. Put your empty cocoa mugs in the sink. Get out of your footy jammies, because if we can hold him down, give him a shot, we're going to put Uncle Dave on the shelf for another week.
He can't let me go 2 weeks like
and
that.
And he'll be back.
It's too stressful.
Hopefully next week with Uncle Dave's Story Hour. We always love our Uncle Dave. I know.
I feel better.
As long as you feel better, that's really all that counts.
Well, just, you know, being able to get it out and share.
Yeah.
Just the three of us. And how many other thousands of folks that are listening to us all across the U.S., like Dory over there in Nebraska and Wyoming down in South Carolina and who knows where else. We're glad that they're with the family here now, and enjoy our special moments.
That's one way to think of them, I suppose. I'm not going to say a word about it one way.
Thank you.
Or another. But you can join us, of course. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Outside the 585 area code, it's toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. Of course, you can join us on Twitter at sound_bites. You can join our fan page. You should join our fan page at on Facebook. Look for us on Facebook and join our fan page. We'd love to have you do that. You can do that right from our homepage at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. You can join us during the show live on the IRC chat at Octothorpe Soundbites. You can listen to us on the Ustream chat. And we're right here on Jazz 90.1 FM or jazz901.org. I mean, if you can't get a hold, I don't know, aside from, you know, like coming into your home and grabbing you by the collar and shaking you, I think we've done pretty much everything we can to get in touch with the world as we go along.
Yeah, they just can't expect us to be, you know, while you two guys are busy trying to answer questions. Me run the board, can't always respond to a lot of the stuff in the IRC and all these other things that we got going.
Right.
They're just tools that we're providing for folks, you know, in different avenues. They can talk amongst themselves.
That's exactly right. And sometimes, every once in a great while, they have something interesting to say about the question we're asking. But that's gotten rarer and rarer as time goes on. So I'm not sure we're going to go there. Are we going to take a break or are we going to take a call? We have to take a break pretty shortly. We'll just chit-chat our way until the break. And then if you're... Dave is on the line. We're going to leave him on the line until after the break because we really can't do him any justice before the break begins, which it's doing right now, as a matter of fact.
Good timing. You pulled that one off good.
Except it didn't. I don't know what's going on there. All right, here we go. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. With Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, we have Dave from somewhere unknown on the line, and all of you right here on the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Yes, we are Soundbites. Yes, we are right here on
Member Supported
Jazz 90.1, so stay tuned.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on Member Supported Jazz 90.1.
Ladies and gentlemen, y'all ready for the blues?
If you're ready for some blues, look no further than Sunday nights. I'm Greg Lefebvre, your host for Doc's Juke Joint. Every Sunday from 7 till 10, part of our 5 hours of blues on Sunday nights. On the Juke Joint, you'll hear new blues, classic blues, and our extensive music calendar. Dig the blues on Sunday nights on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Sound Bites, celebrating 20 years.
These days, digital technology is everywhere. Many dentists use digital technology to produce x-ray images of the teeth and jaw. Digital x-rays allow a dentist to capture the image instantly. The image goes directly to a computer and it can be enlarged to almost any size. If a dentist wants to copy your x-ray, with your consent, it can be printed or securely emailed anywhere in the world in just a fraction of a second. Because digital x-rays are saved, stored, and shared electronically, that could mean no more file cabinets filled with paper files and x-ray films. This efficiency is another reason why digital x-rays are the choice of many dentists. Today's advancements in digital technology are making life and dentistry better for everyone. For the ADA Dental Minute, I'm Dr. Maria Lopez-Howell. For more information, visit our website at ada.org.
This is Station Manager Rob Linton. The Jazz 90.1 Spring Membership Campaign is about to begin. Now is the time to renew your membership or become a brand new member to keep the jazz going on Jazz 90.1. When you consider becoming a member of Jazz 90.1, think about how much time you spend listening, how much you enjoy the great jazz music and special programs you can't hear anywhere else, and how much it means to you to keep jazz at your fingertips on the radio and internet. Remember, Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members. We receive no funding from the Greece Central School District, no government grants, and no large corporate sponsorships like other large public radio stations. We're counting on you to keep Jazz 90.1 on the air. Please call now, 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free to 1-800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Thank you for supporting member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Pledge now at the $35 level and above until the start of the membership campaign on March 17th and receive a special bonus gift CD along with the other great thank you gifts available at each level. Go to our website, www.jazz901.org, or call 966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, and support Jazz 90.1.
Listeners who listen on a regular basis may want to support Jazz 90.1 that way, too. If your budget is organized around monthly expenses, it may be more convenient to support Jazz 90.1 monthly as well. For example, a pledge of $10 a month would mean $120 a year in support. The payment amount you choose is automatically made each month directly from your credit or debit card. You can stop the monthly payment at any time, and we confirm each payment by email. For more information about the Jazz 90.1 monthly gift option, call 966-2660 or visit us online at www.jazz901.org. With the monthly gift option, it's easier than ever for you to become a member of Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Professional Instant Press, a copy, fax, print center serving Monroe, Wayne, and Ontario counties. Professional Instant Press offers offset printing, binding and collating, digital copies, executive stationery, color business cards, placket mounting, custom forms and resumes, design, screen printing, and embroidery. Professional Instant Press now carries print-on-demand invitations and also Birchcraft and Encore for weddings and other special events. Professional Instant Press, a positive printing experience. In the Lyle Mount Reed Plaza, 254-7275, 254-7275.
Greetings, this is Mike Kincaid. Please join me for foreground music, Sundays 3 to 5 p.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Now, do we have Dave on the line? We do. Welcome, Dave. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Webster.
Are you asking me or telling me?
No, I'm in Webster.
Life is worth living.
As long as you know it and I don't need to know it. All right. What's your question?
Well, I've got a Dell Inspiron laptop.
Okay.
I've got Vista with Service Pack 2 on it. Try to keep it updated. My computer decides if I leave it alone for a while that it needs to reboot.
Define a while.
I'm sorry?
Define a while.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 15, 20 minutes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go to shut it down at night, if I go to, say, turn off, it will reboot. If I go to sleep, it'll reboot. And, then I get annoyed and I hit the power button and just force the thing to turn off, and then I have to go to, it says, oh, something's corrupted, and it goes through that whole routine.
Because it didn't shut down properly.
Right, because I held the button down to force it to turn off because I was ready to go to bed. And it's kind of annoying when you try to turn your computer off and it says, no, I'm not going to turn off. I'm going to reboot.
One thing that I would suggest, if you go into you're running Vista. Let's see, because Windows has never really liked any of those power setting savings that, it goes into hibernation or spinning down the hard drive. I mean, all that stuff, Windows just doesn't like playing with. And well, for the most part, I usually turn it all off. If I'm going to be away from the computer, all I do is turn off the monitor.
Okay.
And then that way it doesn't have to go to sleep, and Windows doesn't throw a hissy fit.
And when you do a shutdown, Windows does things. So you may want to do a shutdown and just let it go and see how long it takes.
Well, eventually it will shut down.
What else is running in the toolbar?
It may take two or three times to go through, but then it will actually shut down.
I'm wondering what else is running in your toolbar that's got the computer's attention.
Yeah, something is preventing it from shutting down normally.
Yeah, you know, there's so much stuff. Like if you load Adobe or WinZip or all those, they put themselves automatically into the startup toolbar.
There's also the possibility that there's an incompatibility with the motherboard driver, essentially. Luckily, you're in a Dell, so you can go to the Dell website and put in your serial number, and it will give you a list of all of the drivers, the latest set of drivers for your machine. So if you then take your look and see if there's an update to your motherboard for Vista, make sure it's for Vista.
Okay.
I know that that's a fairly common problem, particularly with Vista Service Pack 2. If there's any sort of incompatibility with the original motherboard setup, then you get that reboot. It kind of pretty much everything causes it to reboot.
Okay. All right. One other interesting thing that I have is just about every time I reboot, I get a window that comes up that says the Window Media Center Store Update Manager has failed. And
again, that's probably something that's kind of probably in your startup menu, and it's constantly going over there trying to update, and you don't need it to.
Right.
You can decide for yourself, you know, when you start that program up, maybe it's been a few weeks, you know, within each program you can say, you know, go and check for updates. I don't like programs constantly running in my toolbar checking for updates. If a lot of these, I'll go check myself, and I do.
Now, the media, are you running Media Center?
No. I mean, occasionally I'll look at pictures or something, and it'll come up. Seems to work. But no, I'm not running Media Center very often.
And I'm not entirely certain how you managed to get that if you didn't install it somewhere.
But
so
it's one of those little stubs that is running in the background,
right,
waiting for you to update.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Go into Add Remove Programs and see if you can uninstall Media Center.
Yeah, okay.
Or go into MSConfig and turn off that Media Center toolbar.
Yeah. Right.
System, what is that?
System startup.
Preference.
Well, if you go into MSConfig,
you,
yeah. You go into MSConfig and go to the startup tab, and you'll see one there for Media Center. Just uncheck it.
Yep.
Try that.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you.
Okay,
thanks. Somebody in the IRC chat suggested it's an ACPI issue, too. That's certainly possible, but that's essentially the same thing. The motherboard update should fix that, should handle that. It is one of the nice things I got to say about Dell is that they do give you that nice feature where if you put in your serial number, you get all the latest drivers for your machine. Our next caller is Chris. Where are you calling from, Chris?
Well, I'm calling from Williamson.
How are things in Williamson?
Bright and sunny out here.
Good.
Well, the question I got for you is something different. It's a hardware question.
Yep.
I'm just playing around with, for the fun of it, an Intel motherboard with a 3-gig Intel Pentium 4 processor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, is there a way you can tell if this board's any good or not? Because I can get the board to come on where all the fans come on, the LED on the board comes on, but I can't get it to light the screen. Would that mean that possibly there's a bad processor, or it could be the main board itself is bad?
Now, is this onboard video or video
card?
Yeah,
it's onboard video.
Have you tried popping in a video card?
No, I haven't, because I don't have a video card for this particular board. I do have one in another board I could try out, but I don't want to damage it.
Right. Well, here's the deal. There's a couple of things you can try. One is, do you see anything on the screen when it boots up?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't light a screen at all. But sounds like I do the video have a sister board to this Intel board. But the processor, I don't want to really take that processor out and put it on this one because I don't want to damage it.
Well, it's more likely to be the video.
Yeah, and if you shut the machines both down, take the video card out of one and put it in the other.
As long as it's the same PCI or PCI
Express.
Yeah,
you're not going to hurt. You're not going to damage anything because you're only going to turn it on just a couple of moments. Just all you got to do is literally put the motherboard in.
Mm-hmm.
Hook up the video, turn it on, see if you see anything pop on the screen. If you see it pop up on the screen, you can then immediately shut it off because then you know it is the video.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll just have to go out and buy a video card.
Yep.
Or replace the motherboard.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, pay $2.50 for the board. I really, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
There you go.
Right.
What it could also be is bad RAM, since the onboard video... oftentimes, in fact, most of the time, shares part of your system RAM.
Mm-hmm.
One or more of the RAM cards could be bad, and that's why the video is not coming up.
Yeah, well, I was able to check out the RAM in another board, and the RAM works beautiful. No problem there.
All right.
And the hard drive I have in this particular box is perfectly good. I've checked that out. The only thing I wasn't able to check out, of course, would be the board itself or the processor.
Yeah, like pretty I say, much the only way to check it is to try a different one.
Try putting another video card in. Like I say, that other video card in, that'll quick tell. You don't have to run it for, you know, hours. All you need it just to see if you see anything come up on the screen. That's all you're trying to achieve.
Yeah, and it won't damage the video card at all.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll try that then.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Bye now.
That's the real problem, I think, that we come up with when we... when we try to fix our own machines. It's like trying to fix your own car. It's not that you don't have the skill. You don't have that specialized tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can spend an hour and a half pulling off the fan, or I can get a fan puller and do it in 30 seconds.
Yep.
And the same thing is true when you're fixing your own machine. When you take it to a shop like Dave's or Steve's, they stick it on the bench, and if they think, I wonder if it's a bad video card, they just throw in another video card.
I can.
But... at home, you often can't do that because you just don't have that bin of spare parts sitting around waiting to be used. And that's, you know, it's not that you don't have the skill or the desire to do it or the time or the whatever. But what you don't have are the parts and pieces that you need when you've made the diagnosis to test that diagnosis.
And it's even worse with laptops, since pretty much every model laptop is completely different on the inside. There's no standardization of parts except maybe the hard drive.
Even you guys can't. I mean, how much can you really do in a laptop at all?
Yeah.
It's all one board. You just kind of throw it out.
You're kind of limited. Yep.
I ran into a problem last week with a Mac laptop. We found the wireless card is in the screen.
Yeah.
So it's in the clutch between the screen and the computer. So to change the wireless card, you're going to take the screen off.
Nice.
Very annoying.
Very, very nice. All right, well, you've wasted another 2 hours, and so have we. We want to thank each and every one of you called in. Apologize to all of those of you to whom we did not get. Call in earlier and more often next week. And if you haven't called in, why not? It's such an easy thing to do. You know how to do it. Do it. And there's a million other ways to reach us, the Twitter, the Face Stream, the U-Book, the whatever those things are, and you can know whatever your kids are doing these days. We're going to take a break for a week, and then we'll be back next Saturday right here with the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's Soundbites on Member-Supported.
Member-Supported.
Jazz 90.1. Thanks for listening.